morning, everyone. We welcome you to our morning worship service today, and we are very proud of our fathers today. We honor them, and you be sure to do so also. At the end of our service today, we're going to have a special time of honoring them, give them a gift, and so we look forward to that special time. And our call to worship today, I want to touch on the aspect of dads here in Proverbs chapter 13, where it says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." There's a picture and an assumption that's made here in this particular verse, and that's of a dad who has given instructions to his son. I was watching an old movie last night, and there was a dad that was being approached by a military guy. It was a military movie from the 50s, and this guy had got asked permission from the dad to marry his daughter, and the mother wasn't too happy because it was an American soldier, not a British soldier. It was a British girl and so forth. But anyway, the young man was talking to the father, and he piped up and he said, "Mother, I've raised this girl. We've taught her from her youth. If this is a foolish young man, then we haven't done a good job raising our daughter." And that was actually in the film. And I was like, What did he just say? This older fellow, and he said, "We've raised our daughter. If she has picked a foolish man, then we've raised a foolish daughter." And the picture and the image here is of a father who has taught his son. And he says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction." That's how wisdom is understood. How do we know a son is wise? Well, does he follow his father's instruction? Did he learn something growing up? Did he pay attention? Some things are caught and some things are taught by a father's example. And so the reminder here is in the latter part of the verse. It says, "But a scorner." What is a scorner? That's someone that doesn't pay any attention, not interested in learning anything. The scorner rejects instruction because they already know everything. So the scorner knows everything, and he responds by not listening to the rebuke. That's the identifier. That's the outlier that's given here about how do you know whether you have a wise or a foolish child. If you've instructed, if you've taught, and they become a scorner, and they refuse and reject that, then that's the lesson of that. There's no perfect score on this side of heaven with parents and kids. There's no perfect score. And we have to understand that. We have to know that. We have to realize that. The Bible is replete with examples of that. But we thank the Lord for the messages that we can give our children and the teaching that we can give our children and the instruction that we can give them and the rebuke that we can give them. Because our purpose, our desire is to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. We want them to come in faith in Jesus Christ. And we want to live their lives in such a way where people enjoy being around them. Amen? That's part of the plan of God and our instruction. And so, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. And therefore, fathers, we got to make sure that we're giving God's instruction, giving the Word of God's instruction to our children.
I ask you to turn to number 407 this morning. Number 407, let's sing this song of Come Christians Join to Sing. Number 407, let's focus on the message as we sing that we're going to let our praises fill the sky of the Lord being good to us on into heaven, that we will think of His goodness and His love forever. Let's stand together and sing number 407.
With heart and voice before His throne.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come into your presence today rejoicing in the work of Jesus Christ that was accomplished in our behalf, rejoicing in the love that you demonstrated in sending your Son and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ himself for us. And we rejoice, dear Father, in this special day as we honor our fathers. We thank you for the men of our church. We thank you for our fathers who have given so much of themselves, sacrificially in many cases, to teach children, to instruct them, to provide for them, to seek to be a model for them. Lord, we thank you for men that honor the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and seek to honor them before their children. And we thank you, Father, for the Word of God that is our guide. We thank you for the testimonies that are given to us to instruct fathers and how to rear their children, how to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Father, we give glory and praise to you, our Heavenly Father, today because of your great love for us, your grace that you minister through your Son, Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit that ministers in our hearts each and every day. We glorify thee today. Dear Lord, we ask that you would undertake for our church family. There are some that are on the road traveling today. We pray for their safety and protection. And we thank you, dear Father, for how you undertook this past 3 days with the good weather for us to be able to get the majority of the tournament accomplished. And we pray for this coming week as we have another tournament starting on Tuesday. We ask, Father, that you would bless in that regard and give us good weather. We pray for safety and protection on our campus as we begin the fourth week of our summer day camp program for the Learning Center as they minister there to the little ones. And then for those that are in the Big Yak camp, we pray for them that they might be able to communicate clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bible times. And we ask, dear Father, that you would bless in a very powerful way on campus this week. Give safety in the pool, dear Father. For those that will be on our campus swimming, we pray for safety and protection for them as well. And dear Father, we thank you for the summertime. We thank you for the opportunities that lie before us during the summer. We thank you for the safety that you gave to the team that went to Europe to minister there. We thank you for watching over and protecting them and allowing each one to be able to come back. We thank you for the good health that was given and for the young man that had to have surgery, how you worked in his life and the healing that you gave. Father, we just give you praise and glory for answered prayer. And we ask, dear Father, that those that were ministered to, those that were given a gospel tract, those that heard the truth of Jesus Christ while the team was there, that they would respond to the truth of the gospel, and that they might come to faith and be transformed by your gospel. And Father, we pray your blessing upon our nation. As we are in this election year, Lord, we look to you. We don't look to men. We ask, Father, for mercy and long-suffering grace. And we ask, dear Father, that you would allow the right people to be elected that will help our country and not hurt it. We pray, Father, for those that are in power over us, that they might come to faith in Jesus Christ if they are not saved, but that they would submit themselves to thee, and that they would rule with honor and equity and not rule with foolishness and emotional ideas that are not rooted in your word. Father, we pray for them. And then we think of our military personnel who serve our country all over the world. We pray for them today that you'd encourage them, watch over them, protect them. And then those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray for them especially that they would be faithful in their witness and that they would be found honoring thee in every aspect of their ministry as they protect our country. Now, Father, we pray that your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God today. We pray your blessing upon our fathers. And we ask, dear Father, that you would anoint the preaching of your Word today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated, and now let's sing number 575. Number 575, Be Strong in the Lord. We'll sing verses 1 and 2, number 575. Let's sing Be Thou My Vision, number 446, one of our favorite hymns, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. We'll sing the first and the last verses, 446.
Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Samuel chapter 25. This is just going to be a starting point for us today on this message of a cautionary tale to husbands and dads. A cautionary tale to husbands and dads. And I'm going to be focusing on the the sin, really, of unreasonableness. The sin of unreasonableness. A cautionary tale to dads, and we're in a very familiar passage of Scripture, and immediately when you get to 1 Samuel 25, you know what it's going to be dealing with, and that was the interaction between David and a man by the name of Nabal and his wife Abigail, because Abigail would soon become the wife of David. I want to begin reading here and go through this passage of Scripture and see the narrative that's given concerning this man Nabal, because he's the one we're going to be focusing on about this unreasonable attitude of life and the fact that his poor wife had to go to bat for him and to try to stay David's hand of judgment against her family because of her husband's actions. And we're going to be looking at some things from God's Word today that I hope will be helpful to all of us men who are dads, who are granddads, that the Lord would help us to understand and know that God's called us to reasonableness, not unreasonableness. Beginning at verse 2, "And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel." By the way, it's interesting that men are noted by the number of animals that they had. I would be noted as I have 1 cat and 5 chickens. I don't know how some of you men here would be noted. Maybe you have a rototiller in your garage and you have a lazy dog or something of that nature. I don't know. But the wealthy men in the Bible are always noted by the number of animals that they had. Verse 3, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." Stop right there. Note what family he was part of. Caleb. Wow, he's got quite a heritage that he's gone against. Tremendous heritage found in the Caleb family. A man that at 85 said, "Give me this mountain." And he went up and took it and secured an inheritance for his family going forward that this man here, Nabal, is enjoying. But he's not enjoying the God of Caleb. Verse 4, "And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these things. And David said unto the men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. That's where we get that expression from in the South. He railed on them. Comes right out of the Scripture. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them while we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Now, this is the servant talking about his master. And he's talking to a woman here, Abigail, who knows exactly what they're talking about. So, Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep readily dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. So she gathers up all this food and she loads it up. And verse 21, now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good, and so and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave all that pertain to him, by the morning light of any that pisseth against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of the Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord." And you know the rest of the story of how that God used that to still David's heart. David refused to take out Nabal and his family. But Abigail goes back and tells her husband Nabal that what has transpired, that the servants that served Nabal noted that David had protected the sheep, had protected the workers, and were like a wall around them. And that this man David had a fighting force that would have come up against him and destroyed him for what he had done. And when Nabal heard that, the Bible says that his heart became as stone, and then 10 days later, God took his life. He was done for this earth. Now, I want us to look at the name Nabal for just a moment. It's interesting looking at different scholars that have translated the different passages of Scripture that are here. And one of them, in Brown, Briggs, and Driver Hebrew Lexicon, which I refer to from time to time, says that a better translation of Nabal is senseless unreasonableness. That is the idea behind the name Nabal. Senseless unreasonableness. Now, many times you'll find in your Bible it's translated foolish, which certainly would fall in line with that same meaning. But I appreciated the emphasis that was made by this scholar because he goes into detail about this particular word Nabal in Aramaic, showing that it was always used in a derogatory way against those that were unreasonable. Unreasonable. Now, what does it mean to be unreasonable? Well, let me give you a definition here. Unreasonableness is someone not having the faculty of reason, imbued with reason, rational, just, would be a reasonable person. But an unreasonable person is missing all of those elements. They're not able to reason well. They always assume the worst and always exalt themselves. The worst in others, the exaltation of self. That's found here. Nabal's sin, then, in this whole thing, was not stealing. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't commit adultery. His sin was living independent of God. And that made him an unreasonable individual. We have all met in our lives people that we've dealt with, maybe at work or maybe at the store or maybe in some other context, in which we found them to be a very unreasonable individual. They just didn't seem to listen to reason. They always jumped off and did something, and it caused hurt to others. David, in the graciousness of his heart, sent 10 men to go to him and let him know, "We've been protecting your sheep while they're shearing." The workers have been involved in shearing the wool, not watching to protect. And so David said, "While you're doing that, we'll surround you and keep you from enemy. We'll keep away the wolves. We'll keep away the dangerous animals. We'll keep away the people that would seek to do harm and steal your things." And they did that. And the servants bore witness to Abigail and said, "When we were there, they were like a wall for us." But then what was their testimony about Nabal? You cannot speak to him. You cannot speak to him. He will not listen. That's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. It's senseless. You know, whenever you have someone that comes to you, and maybe they come with you with a raunchy attitude, but they come to you and they point out something that maybe you had done, and they point out something that was wrong in what you had done. We have to be careful that we say, "You have no right to say anything to me because you came to me this way." Wait a minute. Stop for just a moment. Did what they point out indicate something, an error that you had done? Dr. Hobbs gave me some wise advice many, many years ago. I remember this. I got bawled out by a parent. I got screamed at by a parent out at the ballpark. He called me every cuss word you could imagine because I was on duty that night, and he had pitched a fit on the field. He had thrown a bat. When I walked out on the field, this guy was like 6'4", big guy. He had notoriety. Everybody knew who he was and whatever. And I went out, little skinny Todd Brainerd, and I spoke to him. I said, "Sir, get off the field. We're not going to have this up here at Gospel Project. Get off the field." And buddy, he lit into me. "You little squirt." He called me everything in the world. And then I started to yell. I said, "Get off the field!" Okay. Woo. I was 23 at the time, and I weighed about 150 pounds, and this guy was 6'4", and he just got up in my face and said, "Don't you yell at me, you little middle school squirt." I looked like a middle schooler at that time. And buddy, I just lit into him. "Get off the field!" And and then later on, after it was all over, one of the parents came up and said, "You know, he would have gotten off the field. In the future, keep your cool. The man will respect you more. Keep your cool." That was wise. I had bowed up. I had gotten angry. "Get off the field! I told you to get off the field! Get off the field!" You know, some people would call that little man syndrome. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Little man syndrome, buddy. I was showing him I was in charge. And then I was walking back, man, I was steamed. And he was mouthing and so forth like that. And then just to have that quiet voice come up to me and say, "Listen, don't lose your cool next time. Keep your cool. You be the one that takes the high road." Now, I could have blown it off. "You have no right to tell me how I'm supposed to handle problems up here at Gospel Projects." Wait a minute. I learned something. And from that day, I have tried my best never to yell at anybody. There's sometimes I lift my voice up like I did just a few moments ago. Hope you don't mind. Now I'm going to have to get a lozenger for my throat because I just blew out my tonsils and everything else. But I learned something that day as a 23-year-old. I was acting just like him. I didn't utter a cuss word. I didn't know. That stuff was not even in my mind to do, but I lost my cool ranting and raving, and there was somebody that was watching, said, "Next time, Next time, don't lose your cool. You take the high road, he'll respect you more. And I've seen that so many times. Just handle it. Handle it. You see, when we lose our cool, we become unreasonable. People immediately lodge that, oh, that's an unreasonable person. They lose their cool just like that. We've all met people that lose their cool. We know what road rage is now in America, where somebody gets past whatever, I'm not going to let them do that. And the next thing you know, they're in a fight and bullets are flying all over the place. And it didn't have to get to that level. It didn't have to escalate, did it? Here was Nabal. He is forever in the Old Testament scripture the idiot. How many of you agree with me? He treated David like an idiot. Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Ah, he knew who he was. His problem was he didn't like the fact that he was out protecting his flocks, and so he pretended like he didn't know who he was, and he mouthed off, I'm not giving my food to a bunch of people. I don't even know who they are. The servant said, you can't talk to this man. You can't talk to this man. He's unreasonable. I want us to take thought of seven things today in regard to helping us as dads. We have in our bodies what is known as testosterone. All right? And we can get worked up. All the women that know what I'm talking about, would you raise your hand? You can identify with, yeah, boy, the hands came up real quick there. Yeah. We get worked up. We can get angry. Right? Yeah. Something doesn't go right. Hammering a nail. And you miss the nail and you hit your thumb. Boom! Anger. Hammer goes flying. Thumbs throbbing. Right? Guys? All right. We're talking about you, just in case you didn't know. Yeah, or working on the car. Oh, there's where. You know, we know everything, guys, about cars, right? And so we get to working on there, and then there's one bolt that just won't come out. And you know I'm going to have to take this somewhere and have this bolt extracted. And you're thinking 1,000 different ways of how you can get this bolt out, and it just won't come, and it's keeping everything from happening. I want to change this water pump, but I can't get the bolt out, and we get... Anybody guess? Everybody's looking. Yeah, we get angry. And when we get angry, we get unreasonable. Do bolts rust? Yeah, wouldn't that be something you'd kind of know ahead of time that you might have a problem with? How about a little WD-40 for 24 hours beforehand? Loosen it up a little bit, you know? Or let it get warm a little bit and squirt it down there and let that stuff start working in there. And all of a sudden, boop. Oh, wow. You know, we oftentimes don't think things through beforehand. And then, because we didn't think things through beforehand, we get angry and unreasonable when it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And that, folks, can lead to harm to your family. Here's Abigail. The servants come not to Nabal, but to who? The voice of reason. Do I hear an amen? They went to the voice of reason. They knew better than to go to Nabal. He's just going to chew us out and send us on our way. They go to Abigail, and they rehearse the whole testimony. Let's look at that again in this passage of Scripture. Look back over at verse 16. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his what? Household. They're all going to pay the price for an unreasonable dad, an unreasonable husband, and against the household. For he is such a son of Belial. How many of you think that's complimentary? Yeah. This guy is a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Unreasonable. And so what does Abigail do? She comes up with it was a perfect plan for how she was going to deal with this situation. She had to step into the role of her what? Husband. Do you know how many times wives have had to step in the role of a husband because the husband was an idiot? The husband was unreasonable. The husband could not be reasoned with, could not be spoken to. Listen, I'm looking in the mirror myself. Okay? There have been times that my wife has had to go and clean up the mess on aisle 7 that I made. And so we have to understand, men, that we need to step back and say, now wait a minute, what's the reasonable answer to this particular situation? I get really peeved at people that mistreat waiters and waitresses. I've been in places where I actually got up and went and spoke to a man that was basically yelling at a person that wasn't even the person that was waiting his table. It was another waiter that came over and said, "Need help," and then he just lit into her and was mouthing off. And so I got up and walked over to where it was because I didn't know what this guy was going to do. He was unreasonable. Unreasonable people have to be dealt with very strongly to back them off. And so I went over to him and I said, "Sir, this is not even your waiter. She doesn't deserve this." And he started getting all backed up like that. It's wrong to mistreat people and to do so unreasonably. Nabal means senseless, unreasonable. There's no sense to it. Why? Why would you do that? Mistreat somebody. I watched this week in the news, they had this video of some individual that was holding a dog upside down, mistreating it. I think it was here locally where it happened. And they had video, he had posted video on social media of himself mistreating a dog, a bulldog. Now you want to get me angry? Where I move into the unreasonable land is people that mistreat their animals. That's just not right. You ought not to mistreat anybody. But to mistreat an animal that can't defend itself against a human being, what's wrong with you? You're unreasonable. Senseless. Senseless. So I want to share with you these 7 things very quickly as we walk through this. 7 principles to keep in mind, dads, as we lead our homes. Number 1, Christian fathers have a supreme calling to love God and to love their wives and to love their families. And they're to do so with agape love. That's a special kind of love. That's the love that God has toward us. That's the word that's often. There's other times in which God's love is referred to as phileo. That happens in the book of John. You'll see the interaction between those two words. This tender affection toward people. But agape is the love of the will. To look beyond the moment in which you see something that's going on that just angers you. To look beyond that and to love them anyway. Act of the will. That's what God's Word has told us to do. Always love according to the truth of God's Word to turn away others from sin and error and toward the truth. That's how our love is spoken. We want to turn people away from error and we turn them to the truth. That's the desire of a Christian father. Not to lose it, not to go into crazy land, but rather to act reasonably. You don't want to be a Nabal where your wife has to come in and fix the problem because you've lost it and you have shown that you don't have the capability of being able to deal with something reasonably. That's a problem. There always going to be those who are not truly interested in the truth. They're not interested in reasonable dialogue, and they're not interested in repentance. I can take you to 3 John. There's a man that's mentioned there who was a pastor who was unreasonable. He was crazy. He was chunking people out of the church. He wouldn't listen. He was unreasonable. How many of you think that's acceptable? It's not. And so John dealt with it. He dealt with that in that particular epistle. Number two, fathers and all of us should examine ourselves on a regular basis to examine the kind of fruit that we're producing. You know, Mrs. Pepper brought me some, brought up to the office here some Chilton County peaches from Alabama. She came down, and boy, those were so good. Very, very juicy. And boy, when they come out of the refrigerator and you peel off the skin and so forth like that and bite into those things, they're not bitter. But I've had times where I've just looked at a luscious peach and I bit into it and I had a recoil like you wouldn't believe. It was like drinking a cup of vinegar. It was so bad. It had gone bad. Wasn't good. Well, we have to examine ourselves. You have to examine a peach. Examine a banana. You'll pull off the peel of a banana after it's turned black, and so sometimes it has these big bruises on them. Now, I'm not one that really cares to eat the bruise part. Now, some people can, and that's fine, but I like to cut it off. I'll cut it off and discard it like that. I want to be able to bite into it and it not be mush. I just have one of those sensory issues like that. But all of us need to examine ourselves on a regular basis, like every day. Can I just put that forward? We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are producing the fruit that honors God, not ourselves. Number three, fathers, receive correction well. Oh, wait a minute. Don't you have it backwards? No, don't have it backwards. Receive correction well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 because there's a lot of instruction that's given there in that passage of Scripture to help all of us, but especially men. Notice, please, let's begin up in verse 3. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It seems like that the wicked world gets away with a lot, right? Because they're not sons and daughters. That's why. Are you following? They're not sons and daughters. He takes care of his children. He chastens them. Why? Because he loves them. People that tell you that chastening is wrong are people that don't understand love. They don't understand love. Now, we're not to walk around with a club, beating on people. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. But when there are times for chastening, we have to do that because we love them. You want to correct the behavior, or you want to steer somebody away from wickedness back toward righteousness. Do I hear an amen? And sometimes that requires chastening. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In the Proverbs, he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth betimes. We don't use that language. So I'll put it in language we can understand. Many times. We get it. He loves us. We're oftentimes rebellious or we're doing things we ought not to do and God comes alongside of his child and he chastens because he loves us. He wants us to correct our behavior. Dads, fathers here, including myself, we need to accept correction well. Because sometimes we do things wrong. We do things wrong. And we need to be faced with it. And we need to deal with it. And not get all bent out of shape. And just accept the correction. Because that's what God says in His Word. That's what love is. So we have to have a biblical understanding of love, biblical understanding of correction, and a biblical understanding on how to receive that correction. Let's go on. Number four, fathers, own what you should. And I've already referred to this. Own what you should. You need to take ownership of your actions. Taking ownership of actions is taking ownership of both the wrong actions and the good actions. And taking ownership is, all right, I'm going to fix this. If I did a wrong action, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to go apologize to the person that I've offended. I'm going to go and apologize to the one that I may have acted incorrectly with. That is part and parcel of being the right kind of leader within the home. And so we need to be able to do that. Now, Jesus never had to apologize. You know why? Because He does all things well. He does it right. We, on the other hand, do things wrong. We'll handle the situation incorrectly. Or we'll do something. We'll accuse somebody whenever they were innocent. We have to be able to will and say, you know what? I was wrong about that. I'm going to go fix that. I own it. I own it. God wants us to do that, dads. Number five, be exceedingly wise and cautious in the judgments that you make of others, and be quick to confess and repent of any false accusations and any wrongdoing. Now, here's where testosterone comes in. Guys, you know, we get very, I don't know what it is about T-ball. T-ball, you got 5-year-olds, you got some 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and 6-year-olds, and everybody is a defender of the children. And people go nuts. They'll go nuts on the least little thing if they observe something. Now, whenever they get to be 12 and 13, it's almost like they're forgotten. You can have games, and they'll just cut up in the stands and whatever, but in T-ball, it's like, you know, and they're ready to, you know. We're going to shoot that person. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from here? That's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. Things happen. So, be exceedingly wise and cautious in our judgments. Now, what does that mean? That means we have to slow down and think. We have to slow down and think. Some people are quicker than others when it comes to judgments and decisions, but when it comes to men, our testosterone and our wanting to get in there to be the defender, to be the security guard, to be the dad, police officer, whatever, sometimes we can go a little bit too far. We need to step back from that. Number six, fathers, don't misuse the above realities that we've mentioned in an attempt to avoid dealing with legitimate challenges from others. That's a false judgment too. Let me say this again. Don't misuse the above realities in an attempt to avoid dealing with legitimate challenges. Be careful that you don't swing the pendulum too far the other way. Now follow me now. Where we just don't engage. Oh, whatever. Yeah, it happened. Don't worry about it. There's some people that never get worked up about anything. And that's a problem. There are some things you need to do, don't you? My wife is good about waking me up. Did you hear that? That's about a few years ago. I was sound asleep. I was in na-na land. Rapid eye movement was going on. I was sleeping, and I get the nudge. Boom, elbow to the ribs. Did you hear that? And I felt that, but I didn't hear it. And she said, somebody's outside of our house. So I get up, and I go get my weapon of choice, and I go up to the door, and I'm wiping sleepy seed out of my eyes. I can't see. I'm not that this guy. If I went out like I was at that moment to stop the bad guy, he'd have killed me and even hauled me down to the funeral home, because I would have been no good. I'm just, when I go into a deep sleep, I just am out of it. But anyway, we got up. I went outside, and I went all the way around the house. I didn't see a thing. I came back inside, and my wife was sound asleep. So I laid down in the bed, and I'm sitting up there. I'm all worked up, you know, got the adrenaline moving. I am the FBI. I am the Secret Service. I am military personnel. I've got my gun. I'm ready to take them on now after I've walked all the way around the house. And I've seen absolutely nothing. And so, guys, what's your heart doing? Have you ever tried to sleep after that? So I'm over there. I put my gun away. And I put it back and close it up. And I go down there and I said, it took me forever to go back to sleep. And I leaned over to tap my wife. Did you hear that? Nothing. Yeah. I was trying to get her back for what she had just done. There was nothing out there. Did you hear that? No, I didn't. So I went into Rambo mode and the heart pounding out of my chest. And I was gonna do something about it. But there was nothing there. There was nothing to do something about. There are some people that just roll over. Right? Did you hear that? Nope. Are you going to get up and do something? Nope. All right. It could be an intruder. It could be somebody breaking the window. I don't care. Yeah. You know, the ones that never seem to engage and get out. You know, folks, fathers especially, we got to get out of the bleachers. And we got to get on the field. And we've got to do our roles that God has given to us. Do I hear an amen? We got to do our roles. Last one. Fathers, we can and should give correction. And we can and sometimes should be pointed in our discussions. That's all right. The Bible calls that rebuke. There's admonition. There's different levels you can go through. There's admonition. There is correction. There is, you know, reproof. And then there's rebuke. There's all these different levels. Now, if you're always in one category all the time, there's a problem. You got to be able to be sensitive to the situation and know how to handle it. But there are times when we have to get pointed. Can you do that? Can you do that as a dad? While we always want to be loving in how we do it, there are times when it is necessary and loving to rebuke others. Not just within our own family, but others that are doing something that's unrighteous and they need to be spoken to. Like the guy at the restaurant chewing out a girl that wasn't even his waitress. I felt like I should say something. And I did. Now some people say, you shouldn't have said anything. You should keep your mouth closed and eat your food. No, I can't let that one get by. Sorry. We have to take the bigger picture. Bigger picture. There's always things that are wrong that may go on in society. And we need to be willing men to stand up for what's right. And that means sometimes taking on causes that can be a challenge. Taking on a cause in which we need to speak up and say something. Because that's what God wants us to do. So there are these roles that I think are principles that we should keep in mind, dads. As we serve our families, as we serve our church, as we serve in our business place, whatever the case might be, there are different ways and situations that have to be dealt with. And we have to make sure we maintain the right attitude, but also that we take up the role that God has given us to do. And not be as Nabal, the senseless, unreasonable man that put his family in danger and his wife had to step up to save the day. What a picture. He lost his life over this, by the way. Are you listening? God took his life because of his unreasonableness. Now, I don't know what God's plans are for anybody, but I would imagine that there's been times through the years where people have paid the ultimate price because of foolish behavior, put themselves in a dangerous situation, put their families in a dangerous situation, and God said, okay, we're done with that. We have to be aware as fathers of our role. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of your word. You've included this in the writ of Scripture that we might learn from it. As you've told us in the New Testament, the Old Testament was given to us for our admonition and for our learning. And I pray that we'd take to heart as fathers today how we are to respond to situations. We're not perfect, and we certainly will sin. We'll certainly fail. But Lord, it's so wonderful to know that we can go to Thee and find forgiveness and strength, and that we can make things right with others that we may fail. Help us to have that kind of spirit and attitude as we lead in our homes and lead in this church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to be joined very quickly here in the front by our fathers for just a moment. I think that we ought to pray for them. And so our dads that are here, would you please come forward and face though. We took all the tomatoes away from everybody, so there's nothing that they can throw at you. So come on up front here, those that are dads. I think it's important for us to honor our men here at Grace Bible Church. I'm so thankful for them. I appreciate their spirits and their attitudes, their willingness to take on the tasks that our church has. And so I think they are certainly deserving of our prayers and for our faithful prayers going forward. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to watch over our men and to make of them what they ought to be. Father, we thank You so much for these men. We thank You, dear Father, for the testimonies of each one, how You've worked in each one's life, how You've used them in the training and teaching of their children through the years, how You use them even now in our church and at home and with grandchildren. Lord, our role doesn't end just when our children leave. Help us to understand these things and help us to know that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us each and every day to make right choices and to make right decisions and to carry out actions. We need to be totally dependent upon Thee rather than acting out of emotion, rather than acting out of fear or maybe anger. Help us, Father, to step back from the scene and let You show us what we ought to do, and to handle it in a way that will bring glory to Your precious name and no harm to our families. Father, we thank You for including the life of Nabal just as a way of teaching us all about the way we're not to do things as dads. We give You glory and praise, dear Father. We thank You for Your love for us, for the ministry of mercy and grace and goodness that You provide to us. We give You praise and glory for that. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you'll join me by coming through the line here and shaking these dads' hands. Let them know that you're going to be praying for them and encouraging them in the year ahead.